Hello. Oh, it's nice to see you all. And if you're online, greetings to you as well. This Hebrews series has been fantastic. And if you were with us last weekend, you'll recall that the question was revolving around this idea of, does God care? And the compelling argument that yes, he does, and that you and I can be the rich beneficiaries of that care. And so it was a wonderful opportunity. I want us to extend that thought, because the reality is, yes, God does care for you. And one of the ways he cares for you and me is that he loves us enough and cares about us enough that he's not willing to leave us where we are. That he wants to move in our hearts and our minds. He wants to give us everything that we need so that we can continue to move forward. Because there's a danger of not appropriating all that God intends you and I to live out and experience in the Christian life. In fact, the passage that we're going to look at tonight, with its challenges and cautions and warnings, is really a good opportunity for us to just stop and reflect on this, with the hopes that we can experience the comfort and all the other blessings that God so richly wants to pour into our lives. So you may recall that Hebrews is actually a sermon. It was being preached. And so we have a portion of that sermon that I want us to listen to, and then I'm going to do a sermon on the sermon. How's that? Sounds a little weird, doesn't it? But that's the way we're going to roll. So you can follow along on the screen, or if you have your Bible with you, we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, and we're going to read through to 6:12. Let's read the Word of God together. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about the cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receive the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case, the things that have to do with salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word written, prepared, kept, and now by your Spirit being applied to our lives so many years after that first hearing of it. Father, we bow in your presence and we say, speak. We're listening. We ask you to work and move in our hearts, and thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. See, the concern of the preacher in this part of the sermon is about Christian maturity. And the people that he's speaking to, their development has been stalled out. They aren't moving forward. And this becomes the concern that the preacher needs to address because it impedes their ability to understand what he is teaching, and other challenges are also developed out of it as well. See, there's a need to be maturing so that we can embrace the rich realities of the gospel and the Christian life to the very end. Verse 11, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. That's a very dangerous place to be. And in the original text, he's talking to them about this idea of the priesthood of Jesus, and he wants to go deeper still. And you get this sense of his frustration knowing that his listeners simply aren't ready to hear what he has to say. You no longer try to understand. And the idea here is that they become hard of hearing. They're not listening. And as the word of God is being poured out before them, as the Spirit of God is speaking to them, they're not attentive. They become lazy. All shadows of the meanings in the words that he's using. And this idea of being lazy is an idea that will come up at the end of our passage as well. It kind of bookends this segment of Hebrews. The frustration is that the audience should be well equipped to understand this sermon, what he's teaching, but they're stuck. So he continues on. He says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, let's be clear. Who doesn't love a baby? Right? They're adorable. You know, and if you end up being close to a baby that's small enough, they have that new baby smell, right? And they got all those little gurgles and they make all those little noises and it's just the coolest thing, right? Who doesn't love a little baby? They're cute. But if they're still functioning like that when they're 2 or 3, or 6 or 7, or in their teens, nobody's going to be happy about that. That's going to be deemed to be a huge problem. And there's going to be all kinds of concern because this little one is stuck. And they're missing out on all kinds of new things. See, it's a process of continual growth, taking them on a journey of development and maturing that ultimately has them functioning as an independent and an interdependent adult. Now, when you look at that little one and you see them at the various stages, let's be clear, sometimes you wonder if they're ever going to get there, right? And yet that's the goal. That's where they're heading. This idea of being this functioning, independent, and interdependent adult. And at every stage, they can handle new things and are increasingly capable. The preacher here, the one who's preaching this sermon, is frustrated because they're not developing spiritually. They're stuck. They're that infant that isn't moving forward. By now, they should be teaching the basics to others. They should be on the leading edge of what's going on, and yet they're still stuck there themselves. They're unable to come to grips with what the preacher wants to teach them. This idea of living on milk, being still an infant, It means that they're not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. Friends, that's a problem. It means that because they're not eating solid food, which is for the mature, and by having it constantly, they're not training themselves to be able to distinguish between good and evil. That's a problem. See, no longer cute little infants. Instead, they should be developing a deeper understanding of righteousness and training themselves to distinguish between good and evil, constantly feeding on the solid food of the scriptures and their knowledge of God. And friends, if there was ever a time when we needed to make sure that was true of us, it's now, isn't it? Rooted and grounded. So many moral and ethical dilemmas, such a lack of clarity on how we should live and what our purpose is. So many voices clamoring to be the authoritative source, giving us the inside scoop. Those that are stuck in spiritual infancy aren't going to be able to sort these things out, and the impacts will be and are devastating, not just to the individual, but to the community that they're a part of, whether that be a family or a social group or a church. We need to be continually growing, developing, so that we can continue to live and respond in ways that honor God. But the reality is that this isn't a given. It doesn't happen by default. No, the default so often seems to be stagnation and drift. We do tend to get stuck. It's really not just that they were stuck. If we think about it for a minute, it's worse than that. They're actually losing ground. Because as they're stalled out in this baby state, every day they stay stuck there, they're falling further behind from where they should be. Therefore, in light of this, the preacher says, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward towards maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do it. And here he lists some of the basics. He talks about both sound doctrine, and he talks about correction from those that would have wanted, in their case, as Jewish believers, to inject Jewish laws and customs back into their foundational beliefs about the church, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death. That's been dealt with. It was accomplished through the finished work of Christ. Knowing what it means to have faith in God, knowing that this notion about cleansing rites no longer applies to them as a result of what Jesus has done, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. These are the elementary teachings that he believes that they should have as a foundation, but that they must move past. I wonder how comfortable we are even with those foundational teachings, the basics. Here's a question that kind of relates to where they were at, because part of their struggle related to this. How clear were they on the difference between religion and a relationship with Jesus? And that's a great question for us. How clear are we on the difference between religion and religious activity and what it means to have a relationship with the living God? And are we moving on to maturity, having these things as a foundation that allows us to continually being built and growing and having a robust faith? See, we need to be intentional in the nurturing of our faith. You see this pattern throughout the scriptures. You go back to 1 Samuel 2:26. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with the people. Jesus, Look at what it says about him in Luke chapter 2. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. Jesus growing, developing. Samuel, same thing. Listen to this beautiful passage in Colossians chapter 1. As this prayer, this heart of prayer is laid out for the people. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good gift or every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. What a beautiful prayer. And then in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 8, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. Now listen to what it says. For if you possess these things in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Increasing measure, growing, developing, maturing. The Bible is clear. We are to be growing. And in chapter 5, he talks about the danger of being stuck as an infant in the faith, not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, unable to distinguish between good and evil. But the sermon then goes on into what is one of the most challenging passages in the whole Bible. Let's read at verse 1 again in chapter 6. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. Again, the focus is on moving forward, on maturity. And I love the preacher's optimism here in verse 3. And God permitting, we will do so. But it goes on in verse 4. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. And then he goes on to paint a picture to illustrate this. Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is, who is farming it, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. These verses have been the source of much thought and difference of opinion down through the ages, and the variety of interpretations continues to this day. But one thing we know, the text is meant to amplify the reality that there is no middle ground when it comes to following Jesus. You're either being drawn towards him and to Christ-likeness, or you are drifting away. The question for them and the question for us is simple. Are we moving towards Jesus or away from him? See, if you're moving towards Jesus, you have nothing to worry about. You just continue to pursue Jesus and Christ-likeness. If you're not moving forward and you know it, and you respond today to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, his grace is sufficient for you. And if you're resisting, then this passage is a warning to you. Repent. Turn around and go the other direction. See, often the way to these verses relates to those that we care about. We're concerned about a family member or a friend's spiritual state. And that's appropriate for us, and we should be loving them and praying for them. I love what verse 10 in chapter 6 says, because it helps me really come to grips with all of this. This mystery that's in this passage. It's simple. God is not unjust. Don't you love that? God is not unjust. We can trust him to deal with each situation according to his perfect character. What a lovely place to land. The truth is that far greater minds than mine have studied these verses down through the centuries to no unanimous conclusion. There's mystery attached to this passage, and yet we do know this, that it amplifies the risks and the dangers of drifting. And the remainder of our passage shows the preacher's confidence in the way forward for these people. Yes, the word of correction was firm, was clear, but he still has great confidence. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case, the things that have to do with salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. It's interesting, in the entire book of Hebrews, this passage right here is the only place where he refers to them with this intimate phrase of dear friends. He reaches to them out of love. I love the next part in it. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him, God, as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Loving people in Jesus' name. What an amazing thing to be able to be said of us. Verse 11, continue to grow, to make progress, so that you will live up to your high calling. This idea, I love the way it's put there, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. Friends, what you and I hope for will not be fully realized if we get stuck as infants, if we begin to drift. We need to continue to pursue Jesus wholeheartedly. It's a wonderful invitation. I like in verse 12 where it says this, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. I wonder, this is just me thinking out loud, I wonder if that verse isn't actually pointing ahead to what he will say in chapter 11 in the Hall of Faith. Giving example after example after example of people who lived out a life of faith and that ultimately, although they didn't experience the fullness of Jesus coming in their day, they experienced what it meant to have a life that was connected to the living God. And here in this passage, it's interesting, three words jump out at me. You see them throughout the scriptures and they're so powerful. Love, hope, and faith. We hear them throughout the scriptures, but it's a call to continue to live out of love, out of hope, out of faith. And so the invitation is there for us. And again, is at the beginning of this passage, a call to not become lazy, but to grow. To move forward. Well, you know, you get to a sermon, you sit there and you think about it, and you kind of go, okay, so what's the point? What's the point? I don't think you could find a simpler point than this passage's theme. Keep growing. Keep growing. Keep pursuing Jesus. Don't get stuck. Don't drift. Just keep growing. I love the way James kind of amplifies this when he says in James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Right? The scriptures, it's simple. Right? Get in the word, read what it says, and then do it. And trust the Spirit of the living God to move and work in your life. See, our growth needs to be just seeped in the word of God. It's steeped in it. And it has to be spirit-based. We follow the examples of the saints. We think of growth in terms of our mission, this idea of building lives that honor God. Friends, for us to have lives that honor God, we need to be moving towards him. For us to have lives that honor God, we have to be moving towards Him. This is what we aspire to. It's why we talk all the time about our life commitments. Connect, grow, serve, share, honor. These are incredible themes that are discipleship themes that are weaved throughout the entire scriptures. Friends, if you're worried about drifting, I can give you a perfect way to allay that fear. Get connected with other believers. Pretty hard to drift in your small group. Pretty hard to drift in your prayer group. Pretty hard to drift when you're connected and engaged with other people. You saw all the grow opportunities that are available. Take advantage of one of those. Get onto Write Down Media. Take a look at something that piques your interest. Go to YouVersion and start a Bible reading on a theme that is of interest to you. Carry on in your growth. And then serve and share. It's tough to drift when you're engaged in mission. It drives us to dependence. It drives us to faith. It drives us to this intensity in our spiritual experience. And then, of course, even tonight, as we've gathered here, as we've watched online, worshiping together, communing with the living God together, it's an amazing thing. So I just want to ask you a question. Which of these core discipleship focuses needs your attention right now? Which one would be good for you to just kind of gear down onto in order to help you continue to pursue Jesus? I have two granddaughters. One is 3 and the other is 6. I've seen Frozen 2 multiple times. But I remember the first time I saw it. Because there was a phrase and there was a powerful song in that movie that I thought, oh, that'll preach. That'll preach. It was such a simple phrase. Maybe if you've seen the movie, you'll remember it. It was just do the next right thing. Brilliant. Just do the next right thing. Pick up your cross daily. Just do the next right thing. Pray without ceasing. Just do the next right thing. Hide His word in your heart. Just do the next right thing. Live out the great commandment and the great commission. Just do the next right thing. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. How daily? Just do the next right thing. Oh, friends, that's the invitation for us today. I don't know what the Spirit of God is saying to you, but I believe and I'm praying that He's speaking to every one of us. And the invitation is to just do the next right thing. To move, to grow, to pursue our God. Let's just take a moment and pray together. And I want to pray for some of you within the sound of my voice that as the word has washed over you, it's been clear to you, I'm not growing. I am stuck. And I need that to change. So right now, just say, oh God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. He will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and He will continue to draw you to Himself. Just take a moment and have that time with God. Some of you, you may be listening and realize for the first time that I've bought into religion, but I've never bought into a relationship with Jesus. And to you, it's a simple invitation to just say, Jesus, I've been living life my own way. I've been doing my own thing. Oh, forgive me. I'm sorry. I want to turn and follow you. And so I invite you into my life as Savior. I surrender my life to you as Lord. Thank you that right now, in this moment, everything changes. Perhaps for you, it's just that reaffirmation that, yes, I'm going to grow. I'm going to pursue the living God. Just take a moment and say yes to Jesus. We heard it in our worship set. Say yes to Jesus. I'm going to do the next right thing, and I know clearly what it is. Oh, and friends, here's the truth. As you commit to God with respect to whatever commitment it was that you and him have had a little conversation about, he commits right back to you. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Right now, whether you're in the auditorium, you're watching online, maybe you're watching it at a coffee shop, somewhere down the road, it doesn't matter. God is looking at you right now. And as you make your commitment to him, he is committing himself and all the resources of heaven to you. It's incredible. In a moment, we're going to have baptisms. This is kind of a cool weekend for me. Because 47 years ago, this weekend, I got baptized here at First Alliance Church. 1201 Glenmore Trail. Pastor Lowell Young. My wife and I both did. It was incredible. And Pastor Young wrote me a note in the days following my baptism, and he had some kind words to say to me. And then he finished it with this: continue to share your faith. Continue to grow in the grace of our Lord. Continue to grow in the grace of our Lord. Got me thinking again. What would have happened if I'd seen my baptism as an ending instead of a next step? What would have happened if I got stuck there? Well, I can assure you, Dawn, my wife wouldn't have been happy. My kids wouldn't have been happy. My grandkids wouldn't have been happy. The people in my circle of influence wouldn't be happy. And friends, I don't think you'd be happy if I was stuck where I was back there in January of 1975. It's a life of growth. It's a life of pursuing Jesus. And it's not that we have to, we get to. It's incredible. And tonight, we get to share in the next step of some people as they are baptized. Let's rejoice with them and let's continue to follow Jesus.